from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, taking you up until 10:35. We've got to the fan hotline right now, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find our friend Alan Saunders from Pittsburgh Sports Now. Alan, we'll start with the Steelers. We obviously have the big Pirates topic that is looming that we'll get to. But I wanted to start with Cam Sutton, because I have heard what some of the insiders have put out there for the last week or so. Ray Fittipaldo has put something out there. Mike DeFabo was on with me last night and added some wood to the fire. Brian Batko last week with me. Really saw the possibility. From your perspective, Alan, do you think a reunion happens between the Steelers and Cam Sutton, given everything that has happened in Sutton's life over the last 2 months?
I think it's certainly possible that a reunion with the Steelers and Cam Sutton happens. I also think it's possible that Cam Sutton is going to face a pretty significant suspension from the NFL here too. So, you know, I don't know how the moving parts there work, right? Do the Steelers want to sign him before they find out what's happening? Or are they more in wait and see mode? And are there other options out there that they may prefer to have a player who's going to be able to, you know, play the whole season and they're sure of that right now? So I'm not sure how that all is going to play out, but I think he's a player that they would like to have back. And I think he's a perfect fit for what they need, and he's available. So I think that all, it all kind of makes sense. I just don't know about the availability part of it.
Another former Steeler that is apparently in talks with the organization again is Bud Dupree. He had a visit to the Chargers earlier this week, and then he also has had conversations, per Adam Schefter, with the Falcons and the Steelers. So the Falcons, who he last played for, the Steelers, obviously, the first big portion of his career. Is that a reunion you would have interest in as a depth edge rusher?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we were all pretty impressed by what Nick Herbig did as a rookie, but it was pretty, you know, sheltered, I think, role-wise, right? You know, he was really cut loose as kind of a situational pass rusher, but we didn't see a lot of him, you know, playing on the goal line, for example. And so, you know, Marcus Golden hasn't been re-signed, and if Alex Highsmith or T.J. Watt had to miss a significant period of time, you know, first of all, can Nick Herbig fill that role? Can he do it, you know, down in and down out for a big part of the season? And if he does, okay, great. They still need somebody else. You know, you got to have four guys there. I know they got Jeremiah Moon on waivers from the Ravens, and he's someone they're interested to take a look at. But I would definitely be interested in bringing in some kind of veteran at that position. It could be Golden coming back too. It doesn't have to be Bud Dupree. And there's other guys out there available in the free agent market as well. But I think as we look at this team as it moves into summer, you know, a lot of people are obviously hyper-focused on the wide receiver situation. You talked about slot corner, but I think outside linebacker is another place where they could look to add one more piece.
Peyton Wilson, who they got at the end of the third round in the draft a couple of weeks ago, he is an inside linebacker, but he moved around a lot at NC State, and he has a ton of athleticism. Could he be somebody you see them kind of playing around with in this defense? Like maybe he lines up on an edge one of the times he's out there, or, you know, does he just stay put in the middle?
I would think that would be something where you might see it eventually, but probably not this year, right? When you're making the transition to the NFL, I think teams want guys to do what they've done, what they're comfortable doing, and not try to add too much more to that right away. And there is going to be more that he's going to have added to what he did anyway, because, like you said, they did use him in a very unique way. It's not just going to be plug and play for him to play inside linebacker for the Steelers, you know, from what he did in college. There's going to be a pretty significant learning curve there. Not to say that he's not capable of picking it up quickly, but I think that would be putting an awful lot on his plate right away. But I think down the road, it's certainly something that could be a part of it. And even if he doesn't move outside, you know, I think as an inside pass rusher, you know, that I haven't really had a guy who was kind of a specialist like that in a while. I think he'd be pretty good blitzing up the middle.
When it comes to wide receiver, Alan, they signed Scotty Miller yesterday, but that didn't do much of anything for me. His career highlight is that Hail Mary he caught from Tom Brady during the COVID year in the playoffs against the Packers. It just seems like they have a bunch of guys battling for, like, wide receiver four. Like, I don't feel like they have a true threat opposite George Pickens. I mean, I think Roman Wilson can be a nice player in the slot, but you're going to put a lot on the plate of a rookie if you want him to be the second best receiver on your team.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe that, you know, they're going to talk to the 49ers about Brandon Ayuk and maybe talk to them about Deebo Samuel and talk to the Broncos about Cortland Sutton and bring in Mike Wilson or wanting to bring in Mike Wilson for a free agent, or Mike Williams, excuse me, for a free agent visit and not do anything. You know, it's pretty obvious that they've been trying to find that kind of player, a bigger bodied outside guy. I do think it's very interesting that they have not seemed, you know, to want to play with what's left with free agency. You know, Zay Jones is out there. I think he's interviewed with half the league this week. You know, no interest from the Steelers. Didn't seem like they were in on guys like Gallup or OBJ before they signed DJ Chark. And Michael Thomas is out there, MVS. Just doesn't seem like they're that into those guys. So it feels like it's going to be a trade, or maybe wait and see on a potential surprise cut. Or maybe the other part is that does somebody – get pushed down the depth chart to a place where a team might be willing to trade them away, sort of like the Steelers did last year with Kevin Dotson, right? Where he wasn't a bad player. They didn't hate having him, but they found somebody better. He got pushed down the depth chart, and then he became expendable. You know, I think a guy like Treylon Burks in Tennessee could end up in that situation. A guy like John Metchie in Houston, they just traded for Ben Skowronek again today. They got a million wide receivers. Woods there also could be a guy that they can move. So I think maybe something like that, but I think teams are going to want to probably get their guys in camp and see how the rookies look and do that kind of thing before they would make that type of trade.
From your vantage point, Alan, what happened or didn't happen with Tyler Boyd? It seemed like, now this obviously having to deal with him being a Whippeal legend and also a star at Pitt, but how close was that ever to happening, Tyler Boyd and the Steelers?
I mean, I think there was a chance for it to happen. They certainly checked in. They talked price. If you get to that point, there's a chance, right? Just didn't seem like they were in the same ballpark in terms of price. And I'm not sure that the Steelers were hyper eager to make a move before the draft anyway. And the reason is, like you're saying, you know, Wilson's a slot guy. Well, if you had already signed a slot receiver in Tyler Boyd, then you kind of pigeonhole yourself in the draft, right? Then you needed to draft an outside guy. They were able to kind of go into the draft, being able to look at a bunch of different body types at wide receiver. They got a really good one, I think, in Roman Wilson, who I think Steelers fans are absolutely going to love. I love the way he plays. He's got a ton of passion. He really, in a lot of ways, reminds me of like a smaller version of Hines Ward. He's very physical. And so I think they got a good player, and now they need a compliment. But it's hard to know what the compliment is going to be before you get your draft pick. And so I'm not sure the Steelers were ready to jump in with both feet then. And then once they drafted Wilson, it just didn't seem like Boyd was a fit anymore.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to the draft, Alan, the Steelers getting two offensive linemen with their first two picks, Troy Fautanu, Zach Frazier, at picks 20 and 51. They don't have to move at all to get any of those guys. They were basically able to sit around for every pick of the draft and get what seemed to be pretty good players. When it comes to those two early offensive linemen, do you see both of those guys starting on day one, or just one of those guys, or none of those guys?
Well, I think Zach Frazier will absolutely start day one unless something unforeseen happens. He's pretty much the only option they have. I know Omar talked a lot about them liking their other internal options at center, but I think with all due respect, he's the guy there. Fautanu's interesting. We'll see how they line him up. We're going to be at rookie minicamp tomorrow at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex, so we'll get to see is it right side or left side. I think that'll tell us a lot. But I think he's ready to start right away. He's older than Broderick Jones right now. He had a ton of college experience. So I don't think there's going to be a hesitation. I think people got on Mike Tomlin for bringing Broderick Jones along slowly and last year and Joey Porter Jr. to some extent. But I mean, there's lots of players in their history, rookies that started right away and not even just first rounders. George Pickens started from his first game, his rookie year. And so I think because of the experience level of those guys, I would not hesitate to put them in the starting lineup. The question with Fautanu is where, and then what happens to the other two guys, right? So I think if it were me, I'd be playing Fautanu at right tackle and Broderick Jones at left tackle and make that the competition between him and Dan Moore. But we'll see how Mike Tomlin plans it out.
Alan Saunders, Pittsburgh Sports Now, is our guest on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Speaking of Dan Moore Jr., Pro Football Network, they floated out the hypothetical that Dan Moore Jr. could be some trade bait for a team that needs an experienced left tackle. I think in their scenario, it was Washington who would be offering just a conditional sixth-round pick. Maybe not necessarily that trade, but what would the price have to be from another team for the Steelers to consider it a smart move to part ways there?
Well, it's a complicated process here because I don't think they're in a position where, I like Dylan Cook and Spencer Anderson a good bit, but those guys have a combined zero NFL games played. Like, they're not going to go into the season without a backup tackle. So they would have to do it early enough that there would be someone available for them to bring in to kind of backfill as the swing tackle, or they would have to do that now, sign another swing tackle now, plan ahead of time. They could do that. But like a conditional sixth, get out of town. Like I think Steelers fans are going to be astonished at the dollar amount contract that Dan Moore gets when he leaves Pittsburgh and signs as a free agent somewhere else next year. This is a player with a lot of value. Even middle of the road starting tackles are extremely valuable. I would aim way higher than a conditional sixth round pick.
Yeah, almost 50 starts for Dan Moore since he was drafted in 2021, and all of them at left tackle. Flipping to Najee Harris now, because there's another wrinkle in this story. Paul Zeiss came out and said that Najee Harris requested that the Steelers decline his option so he could hit free agency earlier. His agent fired back saying that the little birdie was wrong that Paul was hearing from. But first, where do you come down on the Steelers' decision to decline Najee Harris?
I think it shows their commitment to positional value. I think it brings into question what happens with the future of the running back position. But I think it's a very defensible decision on the dollars and cents. And I think the ability that Jaylen Warren has shown gives them the what they would need to make that kind of decision. You know, sometimes you look at a move and you say, hey, this is a bad one, but we have to make it. We don't have anybody else. I think Jaylen Warren gives them somebody else. But if they're getting ready to move on from Najee Harris after the 2024 season, I mean, they've got some work to do. That's for sure. There's nobody beyond Jaylen Warren. Cordarrelle Patterson is a kick returner and a third down back, and you know, but he's 33. He's not going to be even a 1B to Jaylen Warren in the future, even though he is here on a 2-year deal. So I think they're setting the table for that, though. I'd have a pretty hard time seeing Najee Harris coming back after that decision. Felt like if they were going to try to work out a long-term deal before that deadline was the time to do it, but we'll see how things go as they move forward.
Then the other part of that story, do you think that there was anything in Najee Harris that actually requested to have the option declined?
I mean, look, I think there's probably a little bit of truth to both sides here. Look, whether or not Najee Harris actually said, like, get me out of here or don't pick this option up, I think you can make a very good argument that it makes sense for Najee Harris to want out of Pittsburgh if – you know, it doesn't look like he's going to sign a long-term deal here. Like, what's the point if you're a running back of spending that one more year? You only get so many. Spending that one more year in a place that you know is not the long-term option, wouldn't you rather go shop your services a year younger? I think there's legitimate concerns about his fit in Arthur Smith's scheme. He did much better last season when the Steelers were running the gap, the sort of the old school, they put in the trap plays, they were, you know, doing wham stuff, and they were like that's what he was having his success on, and now it's a wide zone scheme that seems on paper anyway like it's a lot better suited to a back like Jaylen Warren than it is like Najee Harris. So whether he said it or not, I think it makes sense for him to have those feelings, and so yeah, if they're not going to come to an agreement on a long-term deal and the sides are far apart, why wouldn't he want to leave 1 year earlier and move on and get that big contract while he's still a year younger?
Do you think Cam Hayward should consider taking that pay cut? I know he said he doesn't want to, and he thinks people are ridiculous for suggesting it, but should he consider it to help out the team?
I don't really think it's necessary. They have a lot of cap space right now. They restructured Alex Highsmith's deal before the draft and didn't really do anything with that money that they created. Now, I think there's one way here, right? And Cam Hayward is not a young man, and he's not won a Super Bowl. And if there is a truly game-changing player on the other line, and Omar Khan says, hey, man, we could have Ayuk, but I need $5 million to make it work. You know, okay, I think at that point, maybe not $5 million, but, you know, I think at that point, I think maybe you could make an argument that Cam Hayward should think about it. But they can restructure his contract using void years. They can give him an extension, whether he intends to play out the extension or not, to reduce the cap hit in 2024 without him needing to take a pay cut. So I think it's a pretty rare scenario that he would have to if he doesn't want to. And it seems like he doesn't want to. So I'm not expecting it. But there is that maybe 1 or 2% chance where if they get a big fish on the other line and they need the money to make it work, well, hey, if you want to win a Super Bowl, sometimes that's what you got to do. Tom Brady did it for a long time.
Does Russell Wilson start every game for the Steelers in 2024?
I think this is an easy no for me. I think there's just too many uncertainties, right? I mean, Russell Wilson wasn't great, you know, the last 2 years in Denver. Certainly, if he doesn't play as well as he did last year, he won't be asked to start every game. And then also, you have a guy who's been sacked a ton at his age. Guys just don't stay healthy, right? And so I think there's a very good chance that we see Justin Fields. I think there's a chance Justin Fields could just come in training camp and win the job. You know, I know Mike Tomlin has said, you know, Russell Wilson has pole position and he's going to get the first chance. But, you know, that doesn't hit the same when you're on a one-year veteran minimum contract. Like, the Steelers have no skin in the game in Russell Wilson. If they go out there in the first 2 weeks of three weeks of training camp, and Justin Fields just looks better every single day, I think he's going to play. Like, they're not going to put their finger on the scale here. There's no financial reason for them to. So I think there's a very good chance we see Justin Fields in the Steelers uniform at some point this year.
If you had to put an amount of starts that each of those guys makes, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, this season in 17 games, what number would you put next to both of them?
Man, that's pretty tough. I'll go 13 Wilson, 4 Fields. That's a shot in the dark, though. I mean, there's not a lot of science behind that prognostication.
NFL schedule gets released on Wednesday of next week. What's your prediction on the Steelers week one game? Opponent, where, when?
You know, they haven't done this in a long time, so I'm going to go starting on the road at the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, man, I don't know if I'd like. I feel like the Ravens are always so good out of the gate. Like, I think back to that game, I think it was 2011, Allen, where was that when the Steelers went there and just got rolled? Like 35-7.
And they've finished, I feel like they've finished the season against the Ravens like, what, 3 or 4 years? Or like 3 of the last 4 years, or maybe even more than that. It's been right at the end. Like a lot of, maybe, so I think maybe they'll go the other way. Maybe they'll go to the beginning. That's, you know, the Denver game, I don't know. Like when they signed Russell Wilson, everybody thought, oh, maybe that'll be an early season game. But man, the Broncos just don't have very much juice, do they? Is that the one that they're going to want to put on national TV? I don't know.
Yeah, unless they do like that Monday Night Football doubleheader and they go back to like the 7 p.m. and the 10 p.m. start and they make that the late one. I don't even know if that's
Monday. They can't play Monday Night Week 1 though, right? Because the Pirates are at home?
Not at home, no.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, if they're at home on Monday, on Week 1, I think it has to be Sunday night, right? That's the only way it can work?
Well, they play at Denver this year. Denver doesn't come here.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess it could be the game.
It could be the Broncos in Denver. Yeah, that could work. I'm going with Baltimore at Baltimore. I think that's like 4 o'clock game. I don't know.
Oh, I like that pick. I like a 4 o'clock start to the season. Alan Saunders, Pittsburgh Sports Now. Alan, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Donnie. We'll see you around.
There you go. Some great stuff there from Alan Saunders. We'll react to that coming up next. Also, the trade hypothetical I threw out there around Dan Moore. Joel and I will continue to have some fun with the NFL schedule release because we thought that this time last week we'd be a week away, and it turns out we are still about a week away from that as we sit right now. So we'll get into that coming up next. Kyle Dawson from the Washington Wild Things joins us in a little bit over a half hour as their season begins tomorrow night at Wild Things Park. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.